Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting show, the Ask Yaye Femi show. Today is June 2nd. I think I have that right. Today is June 2nd, 2013. We will be speaking tonight about our ancestors, the spirit they carry, and the spirit that we feel from them, and what guidance we believe that they are giving us through their wisdom and through their knowledge. Before we actually get into the show, I would like to welcome our host. Welcome, Yaye Femi.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited about the show today. I'm very, very excited.
Yes. I would like to say thank you for bringing your wisdom to us. At this time, will you do a meditation for us to get us ready for the show and hopefully ready for the rest of the week?
Yes, definitely. I'm going to share with us this afternoon my latest CD on guided meditations. Welcome to my series of meditations to allow you to go into your spirit and relax, breathe, and disconnect from the mundane, from the everyday challenges that you have and you may be facing in your life. Yemonja is the Divine Mother, the healer, the part of our being that we can connect through breathing and, of course, through visualizing us in the womb of the Divine Healing Spirit. This meditation will allow you to breathe 3 breaths per minute as you allow yourself to go to a safe, relaxed place where you can see Asha. Yemonja, Mother of the Children of the Fish, is the ultimate symbol and the personification of motherhood. Yemonja, the Divine Mother, the Mother that understands everything. I want you to relax and you can breathe.
Yemonja,
take a nice cleansing breath.
Breathing out.
Breathe in.
Very peaceful. Very peaceful. I love it when you do the meditations. It's it puts you in a state of relaxation and carefree, no worries at all. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. And Yemanja Meditation CD that I have available. If you go to my website, you can get it for, and I'm working on getting it that you'll be able to buy it on download as well. But there's three meditations on one CD. So thank you again, everyone, for sharing with me this experience. Thank you, Ruby.
Oh, thank you so very much. As I say, it's an inspiration to, you know, to listen to it, to listen to you, and to understand, you know, myself. And I can only speak for me. I can't speak for our listeners, but it's a great experience for me when I listen to you and I learned from you, and I do thank you for that. Family, welcome, welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Listeners, if you have a question or if you want to speak on your experience when it comes to your ancestors, the call-in number is 310-742-1887. And if you want to speak on the air, you have to press 1 so we will recognize that you want to speak, because we do have a lot of listeners who are just that, they're listeners. They don't want to call in. They just want to get the experience and gain some insight as to what they hear or what they see or what they believe that their ancestors are bringing forth. So if you're in a chat room, I see we have several people in the chat room. Feel free to type in your questions or your comments even. They don't have to be questions. They can be comments. You know, you can always type them in, or your experiences if you don't want to speak on the air. Type in your experiences, and I will read them aloud to Yaya Feeney. Also, family, if you have not signed up for Yaya Feeney's newsletter, you can do that by going to her website, which is www.yayafeeney.com. That's www.yayafeeney.com. And there you will find all of her upcoming events and any of her great products, which she makes herself. You know, her products are amazing. You can find her products, and you can learn about her services. You know, she has lots of services. And also, one of the things that I did want to mention, one other thing, is the upcoming fast. It's in, you only have 2 weeks, and that's June 15th. You have to be her friend on Facebook to get the information for that. So you have to request a friendship with her on Facebook. And I think she will be starting this week posting things pre-fast things. So make sure you sign up today. Okay, Yaya Feeney, I'm going to turn the mic over to you now. And I'm going to start stealing the spotlight.
Okay, thank you so much, Ruby, for always being just an awesome co-host and holding my hand through this process. Wait, I think next month we celebrate a year.
Yes,
we do. So we have to do some giveaways and some special things. You know how I love to give away stuff. And we'll be giving away some at our anniversary. Usually you get a gift yourself, but I like to give away stuff. So makes me happy.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that. So today, last week we said that we would have a show. We had some elders that wanted to speak, but two of the elders that I had I asked to speak, they declined because they said they didn't feel comfortable speaking their story over the radio. They didn't know who would listen to it. So I think that's something that is, normal for our elders, because this is modern technology and that is so new to them that they feel a little open and raw. So perhaps what we could do is do an interview with them, or let them tell a story or something of their life, and perhaps at a later time we'll be able to play it. So they were not willing to share and be that open. So then the Spirit gave me the idea, the suggestion, or the insight to do something that we can come together. Every person has an opportunity to state their story, because sometimes we think that what we're going through it by ourselves, and that we're unique and that no one else has experienced it, positive or negative. And I think that when we share, we recognize that we are all the same. We are reflections of each other. And that something that you may take for granted that is not that important or light, someone else might be just that thing that you need to spark you to have some confidence, some hope, to feel good and to move forward in your journey in life, which is like a jigsaw puzzle, just picking up pieces and trying to get the picture correct before you leave this earth. And so that was what Spirit had. So I would like to share from my book, yayafeeney.com. For those of you who have it, it's on page 43. The ancestors are always with us. And while I'm reading this, my hope is that you will connect to a story that you have, and we'll have, as I send out the email, to take 5 or 6 minutes to share your story as to how is it that you know for sure that your ancestors or those who have gone on to the other side or to the ancestral realm, that they are still with you.
Mm-hmm. So
yes?
Excuse me. Well, as you know, all of our shows are archived. So if you could give the title of the book and then the page number. So for people who go back and listen to the archive, because you know we have a couple of thousand people who go back and listen to the archive of the show.
Okay.
And this way they
could
have it. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The title of this particular book of mine is Meaningful Monday, Developing and Maintaining Balance Through the Seasons with Prayers, Baths, and Healthful Living. It's Meaningful Monday, and of course it's by Miguel Yefini Efumborade. And we're doing the page 43 under the subtopic of spring, because the book is divided into the different seasons. Okay, thank you again. So the name of this particular chapter is The Ancestors Are Always With Us. About 36 years ago, I had a spiritual investigation, or an Egun Gyoko, known as also a Misa, or a spiritual interpretations or a session, a spiritual sessions where mediums were sitting and giving evidence or giving their, sharing their spirit with me. And so they performed for me. I was told that there was a spirit named Rose or Rosetta who walked with me. I didn't know this person. The medium said perhaps it was a spirit that had attached itself to me to come and assist me. Over the years, I have done services for my ancestors, and I always call Rosetta as a child. And the reason that I call this name Rosetta is because, and I don't have this in the book, is when I moved to the African village in Beaufort, South Carolina, the first evidence that I had was someone told me that this spirit followed me around and that her name was Rosetta, and that's how I started calling this particular name Rosetta, okay? So over the years, I have done services for my ancestors, and I always call Rosetta. As a child, I always communicated with spirits. I always felt that. I always knew these spirits, but upon initiation, I learned how to respect and honor them and have a direct relationship to them as my teachers, guides, and supporters of my life's work. One of my children has adopted Rose as one of her egos. In 2008, on a trip to Barbados, with the assistance of my genealogy teacher, Efolayo, and my friend, Onika, I went to the archives in search for my Barbadian ancestry lineage. Among the names of some of my relatives from Barbados, I found out, much to my surprise, that my great-grandmother's name is Rosa. Years later, as I gave a weekly offering of Bajan Kuku, which is cornmeal, at my ancestral shrine, a sheet of paper with Rosa's name on it fell off the ancestral table. I was shocked and surprised because there was no draft or breeze in the room. In that moment, it came to my spirit like a bolt of lightning to ask my ancestors, if Rosa was the Rosetta the medium had spoken about? They replied, yes. I felt cold chills run through my body. I guess that is what Oprah calls an aha moment. Our ancestors, our spirit, our angels are always with us. I continue to light candles, pour libation, feed my ancestors, and give them thanks and pay homage that they love me enough to stay with me. Have a spirit-filled, meaningful Monday. So in that little passage, I can even feel the chills as I remember that day that the paper I had written down, all of the information I got in Barbados, and I wrote, put it on my ancestor table, and the name just fell off on the ground and just faced up, and I went and asked, and they said yes. So our ancestors, our spirits are always with us. It's just like their DNA is still in our blood. I mean, our DNA, yes, their DNA is still in our blood. That's the way that with just a hair or a piece of skin or flesh, a cell-to-cell connection can be done in tracing us biologically. And so what it would be, you know, it would take a great lack of imagination or even intelligence to understand that if the scientist can take a piece of the flesh of a deceased and take some from us or take a cell or a piece of hair and are able to know definitely that this is our ancestor. Of course, mm-hmm. then spiritually it will still be a tie, because if it's physically there's a connection that can be proven, of course spiritually we would have to understand that there is, because the spirit and the body are connected, and that is what flows us through this existence. So I just wanted to share that particular thing with you, and as I go along, I will share some other experiences that I've had with spirit, but this is your show, so I want you to feel comfortable and to share your story. I have a number of people that had emailed me and asked to speak, and so if they will follow through, as Ruby says, press the number one, she will bring your mic up, and you will be able to stay with us. If you don't want to share your name, that's fine, but if you do, you feel comfortable that you'll be sharing it with thousands of people, then feel free to do so. So thank you, because you will definitely make a difference in everyone's life. Thank you.
Yes, I am. I don't have anyone who would like to speak at this time, but I have a couple questions myself.
Okay.
You know, I often wonder, because I love to write, and I have since I was you know, a child, one of the things that my teachers always pressed upon me was that, you know, you're a good writer, you're very creative. So this is something that you should continue with and you should explore more of. And, you know, and I often wonder, you know, who in my family had this? Where did this come from? And maybe about 5 years ago, my aunt called and she, you know, she found out I was doing a book because I hadn't told. I told a lot of people I was doing it, but a lot of people sort of laughed, so I've stopped telling people I was doing it. And she found out that I was doing it. And she told me that, I guess, my great-great-grandfather was an author, loved to write. And that's something that he did. You know, he was an Indian, and I'm not sure Cherokee Indian or, you know, where, what tribe or anything he was from. But that's something that he liked to write, that he liked to do, and it wasn't popular for him to do that, but he did. And so that was nice, and I always feel that he's guiding me whenever I'm writing anything. So
yeah,
maybe
that's powerful, and it's not by coincidence. You know, that you just happen to, you know, to be, I mean, you didn't just lock up on that information. It's because you have that cellular memory, and your ancestors live through you again. You give them an opportunity, because sometimes we have situations that happen on Earth. In our daily life, and some of them may be painful, some of them may be negative experiences that we have with someone, and after the transition, we sometimes feel disconnected from giving them any kind of credit for the things that they have done for us, or we dwell sometimes on the pain that they caused us. But, you know, in my belief system, we believe that after you die, the spirit goes to wherever it is that spirits reside, which is right here on this plane in just a different manifestation, and it goes to school. It is able to then recognize some of the things that they did not do correctly when they were here in the last time, and they're able to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to repair it by being assistants and helping us. By helping us, they are doing, they're fulfilling karmic debt. And so that's a comforting feeling to know that when an ancestor, a person, caused any damage or harm on Earth, when they go to the other side, they can end up being one of your strongest supporters, because they are ashamed, they're enlightened, and they're aware now, so they become one with the universal energy of the world. So when you call on their memory and you forgive them for the terrestrial or their earthly experience, they are able then to help you and to assist you. So that's very comforting to me. And that's one of the things that I love about this practice of peace in this West African tradition, is that you have some of the things that seem so simple explanations, but they're very, very powerful, and they make a lot of sense when you hear them for the first time. You're like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Yeah, because the spirit, when it goes, it does it. We don't understand it. I mean, our belief is that when the spirit goes to their resting place, that they are actually at the feet of God, making confession, making atonement, getting enlightenment, repairing deeds, growing and becoming stronger, so that they'll be reincarnated again and have the opportunity, if they choose, to come back on Earth to live through one of their own descendants, or you can choose another other spirits that will come through your birth.
We have a caller on the line we have a whole lot of callers on the line, but we have actually a caller who has a question. Caller 954-612, you're on the air. Welcome to the Yaya Feeney Show.
Hello. Thank you. This is Ethan Lyle, and I wanted to say hello to you, Ruby, and to Iolode.
Thank you. Hi.
Yes, I wanted to share something about my connection with my ancestors.
Great.
for as long as I can remember, early in my childhood, my mother would always encourage me to collect dolls. And she bought me dolls, and everybody in the family would buy me dolls. And I think by the time I was probably in middle school, I had over 100 dolls of different types, all kinds of dolls. And I loved them. And my mother taught me how to take care of them very well. I had certain dolls that I could, you know, play with my friends, and other dolls that only I could play with, and things like that. So they were very cherished items. When I went away to college, I think it was probably like in my junior year, I came home on a break and my dolls were gone. And I was extremely upset. And I asked my mother, you know, what happened to the dolls? And she said she didn't think that I wanted them anymore, and so she had given them away. And she was a school teacher, so she basically had taken them to school and given them to different children. So it wasn't like it was any particular person, so that she could go back and ask to have the dolls back. So anyway, over the years, you know, I dealt with that disappointment of being disconnected from my dolls. And I said, well, one day when I have a daughter, I'll start to collect dolls with her, and that'll fulfill that need I had. Well, I didn't have a daughter. I had a son. So it was kind of like, okay, so where am I going with this doll? Because I was always, always attracted to dolls and connected to dolls. And I had one or two, but I never really built my collection back. And so one day when I was in a flea market, I was walking around through this flea market because I love antiques and stuff. And this doll that I saw just basically, it was almost like it called out my name. And so I went and I purchased the doll. It was like $5. And this was a black doll that was made, very old doll. I don't have a date on it, but I just know it was very old. And it was made from one of those old brown milk bottles that they have. And that's what the body of the doll, and it has beans inside of it. And then, of course, the doll is dressed. And I know that because I took it apart to see what it was made out of. So that was probably maybe like in 1970-something. And so, like I said, I didn't have a daughter. I had a son. So fast forward to the 1990s, and I decided at a point I was going through some challenges, and I just, this thing of dolls just stayed on me. So I said, you know what, just go ahead and collect dolls for yourself. You know, it's okay. You don't have to have a child. Just you want to be a doll lover. So I started collecting dolls, and it was just a great joy to me. Fast forward another 10 years or so, and I had a reading and a spiritual investigation. Several things happened, actually, with Yefimi. And one of the things that came out is that I had an ancestor who was a doll maker. And she used to make dolls. She was at that time, she was enslaved, and she was the seamstress for her master's wife, and they allowed her to keep the extra cloth after she made the clothes for the family and everything, and she used to make dolls from these fabrics. And through the course of time, I have discovered that this spirit of that ancestor of mine is what made me have this affinity to dolls and want to be so connected to dolls. And actually, I was advised that it would be very spiritually grounding for me to make dolls. I'm thinking, how could I ever make dolls? I don't sew that well, and whatever, whatever. So because the spirit stayed on me so strong with it, I began to make dolls, and it has just been the most amazing, amazing experience as I have began to make dolls, and they have shifted and changed over time, and the dolls are very well received by people. It's just been an amazing blessing for me with these dolls. So I would go through phases of time when I would stop making dolls for whatever reason. I got busy with something else or whatever. And every time I would do that, I would either dream about that doll that I bought in that flea market long ago, or somebody would call me and order a doll. So the tie-in is that because I had this ancestor who used to be a doll maker, and she made dolls, and she would put things inside the doll so that people could be blessed, and she would pray over the dolls and everything. That's what she wanted me to do with the dolls that I made. And one day I was standing in the room where I kept this particular doll that I bought all those years ago for $5, And it was like the doll was calling my name, and I turned around and I looked at the doll, and something in my spirit just let me know that that doll was the representation of that ancestor that made the dolls back in time. And that's why when I was in that flea market, I had to buy that doll. And so every time I think about that story and how I've come forward, you know, in my life with doll, now I have a full-blown doll collection and everything again, and they bring me a lot of joy. And I found out through doing some research also that in ancient times, people used to make dolls. Say if the mother was going to be away, she would make a doll out of her clothing to give to her children. And the clothing had, of course, her energy, her scent on it, and the children would miss her a little less if she had to be away from them. People would make dolls to represent ancestors who had passed on because they didn't have photographs, you know, and so they would make a doll to represent, you know, a person. So that's one of many of my stories about how I connect with my ancestors that have been a real blessing in my life. And even though my mother's not here for me to ask her why did she have me collect dolls, and she may not have been conscious of what she was doing, but I know it was that ancestor working through her to have me to be a doll lover and bring it forward to my adulthood to, you know, make this connection for me. So thank you so much for allowing me to tell that story.
Great story. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was powerful. That was powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Efolayo, because the dolls that Efolayo makes, they are just so fabulous. I mean, they're very pretty, but the energy in them is just really, 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 really powerful. Because I remember one of the experiences that I had with one of the dolls that Efolayo makes, where, like she said, the dolls talk to you. Whenever one of these, and I'm cleaning off my shrines or something, or sometimes I'm just passing by and one of the dolls turn over or jump off the table or something to that effect, it's always connected to whatever spirit that particular doll represents, and it gives me an opportunity to really connect to it. So thank you, Efolayo. And if I have not shared that with you, thank you for opening the space for me to even remember to tell you that. Every time I get my jaw doll fall that you made for me, something happens that I have to deal with some type of Yemanja situation. So thank you very much, and usually the situation with my family members. So
wow,
that's
much. Amazing. Thank you. You hadn't shared that with me, but thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, the dolls are always jumping off the table. Thank you very, very much. Is there anyone else that would like to share? They can talk about an ancestor that they knew specifically, as Efolayo was sharing with her, an ancestor that she knew and was directed to connect to. Maybe we can speak to someone. I will speak to it if no one else has anything. I don't know. I had like four people that said they wanted to speak, but I don't know what happened.
Oh, all right. There's a lot of people listening and a lot of people in the chat room, but no one's chatting. They're really into this, and they're listening to you. And one person in the chat room said, wow, but they're sort of just taking it all in. So
okay.
Take...
Well, okay. Well, I'll share about my father. And maybe perhaps in my sharing, someone else will decide they want to do some sharing. My father and I did not have a history or a relationship, really, because my mother and father separated when I was 5 years old. I don't have a memory of my mother and father living together. And I don't have a picture of my father and mother together. I've never really seen my mother and father speaking to each other or in the same room. Because, you know, sometimes when people have divorces, they divorce the family, divorce the children, and it's all depending on the pain and whatever it is, karma that they're dragging. So my father's father died when he was very young, and his mother died when he was a teenager. So he pretty much had to raise himself in the primary years where he needed some guidance. And so...
Yeah.
his experience in life was very, very harsh and very rough. And so as a father and as a husband, he was very detached from the warmth and the kind of compassion that is required as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so our relationships, when I left Panama, I was 12. I was just completing 13 years old. And my father and I, he would not follow through on things that he had shared with me that he wanted to do for me and those type of things. He was always a no-show. And so I was very angry with him and very disappointed, very hurt, very humiliated, very embarrassed. All of the emotions of feeling disconnected to a man I had very early in my childhood. And so when I left Panama at 12 years old, I swore I would never see him again when he came with us to the airport because he had promised me something, and, of course, he didn't deliver. And I said, you know, I will never see him again. I said that as I was getting onto the Pan American Airlines. And I got mm-hmm. on the plane, and we came to the United States, and I was 13 then. Well, by the time I was 19, my brother was getting married, and my father was coming to the state. No, I'm wrong. Backing it up. I was actually 24. And my father, all these years, I had never written to him. I kept that anger and that rage inside of me. And so when I was about 25, I was pregnant with my daughter. And my father had come to the States for the very first time to attend my brother's wedding. And, of course, everyone expected me to come to the wedding. I said, I'm not going because I'm pregnant, and this is a inconvenience for me because I'm big and pregnant, and I'm not going to go. Well, that was an excuse because I could have gone. But I decided I'm not going. All of this time now, at 25 years old, initiated priestess for 2 years, I've been initiated as a priestess. Still holding him up in my heart, very angry about the history and the thing. And so I didn't go. And about 1986, my father passed. I had never gotten to see him. And somehow I didn't feel sorry, disappointed, because I really didn't have a history with him. I didn't have any stories or anything that I could remember. And so to me, it was fine that he passed, and it was fine. I didn't put him on my ancestor table because I said I didn't agree. I didn't get along with him. I didn't want to put him on the ancestor table for someone who him and I had no connection other than blood. And one day, I was doing a ceremony to my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recommended that I needed to go and see a medium, to see someone to give me a reflection of what was going on in my life, because I couldn't mm-hmm. sleep. It was days and days that I could not sleep. So I went to the ancestors, and they told me that's what I needed. So anyway, I went and I got an investigation, a spiritual investigation, and I was told in that, well, not really told, I saw a man actually possessed the spirit of my father. In that moment, that man's face reminded me in that moment of my dad. And there was no physical connection to it, because the man was dark skin. My father was very, very light in complexion. And all of a sudden, this man's his energy just seemed like it was my dad. And the man came towards me and hugged me in the possessive state and apologized to me and said he was so sorry for the way that he had treated me. And I just started crying. And, he was told me that this was my father's spirit coming to me to ask for forgiveness and that he was sorry and that he would always be with me. I was just...
Mm-hmm.
I was just, oh, my God, it was amazing. I was both happy and sad and confused and joyous, and I felt the energy and the essence. And from after that particular sitting and after I went home, I started sleeping and everything at night. I did the prayers to elevate my father. I went and put him on the altar. The relationship and the energy that I had shifted completely, not only with me and the memory of my father, but the relationships that I've had with men. Because, it was healing that I needed to do from just having this disconnect from the first male that would have loved me or I would have loved. That in my life, I recognized that some of the reflection was that I chose to be in relationship with men that would not be present for me. And so it became almost like the ending of a jigsaw puzzle as to understanding why is it that in relationships I would get close and couldn't get any closer than I would allow myself to be because I would be just frozen up. Okay, what if? So it has healed me where my spirit is open to romance, to dating, to love, to respecting and honoring males. So I'm saying, sharing with you that whole story to let you know that sometimes the pain that we have is cross-generational. And we think that it's some kind of decision that we've made. And sometimes it is something that is an influence for us. And I thank my Father every morning when I do my prayers and my libation for allowing me to have that experience so that in my self-empowerment workshop that I do with children, I have a lot of children that are disconnected from their fathers. With girls that are disconnected from their fathers, and I have boys as well. And so I'm able to share my story and as well as to have insight and to have compassion towards the pain that they're having and experiencing, but also I now have the tools in this practice to give them the services and that for them to make a connection to their father or the strong male presence that so that they will not have to go through what I went through in choosing men that were inaccessible to me emotionally. So I thank my Father for that experience of not being there and giving me the opportunity to know the pain and to teach from that pain. So I just wanted to share that to you from my father, whose name is Clyde Brown Roach, in Ibaitu, and may he rest in glory always. Very, very, very wonderful musician that has given me the love and the passion for music. My father was an extremely talented musician, and that's why I know that I love music so much. Then when I wake up, I listen to my meditation tapes. Then I go into half of the day with soothing music. As the day progresses, there are different levels of music, from jazz to hip-hop to all of the things that connect me to the vibration of music. So I thank my father for that.
Oh, wow, that is an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that. You know, as you said, with thousands of listeners, thank you. That's wonderful that you can do that. And we have a lot of callers on the line and a lot of people in the chat room as well. And I guess, you know, with you sharing your stories and, you know, that will possibly inspire other people to share their stories as well. But this is a good time to take a little break here.
Okay.
I would like to tell the family that next weekend you are having a round robin, which is a group of mediums who come out and give their insight.
Yes.
Is that correct? Could you elaborate
yes,
a little bit
correct.
On that?
Yeah. Yes. Round robin is very very nice little thing that I learned years ago from when my office was in Fort Lauderdale. We used to have round robin. And anyone can really have them. They're really, really a nice way of connecting to spirit. And it's light and it's fun, but it's very profound as well. So you have a number of people who do have some type of spiritual gift. All of us have spiritual gifts, but some of us have them more developed and we have more confidence in sharing them. Because all of us have the opportunity to say, we say something, we think of someone or we think of some situation and we say, oh my goodness, let me tell you this. And next thing you know, or either you think of someone and they call you or your mind passes on someone else, and or you're looking at a magazine and you see something that they would like, and then the person calls you. So we all have that spirit-to-spirit connection. But sometimes we're ashamed or embarrassed or are insecure or don't feel strong enough that we have something to say. So the round robin we have four people, let's say, giving an example, the one that I'm having this month, is we have four mediums. One is a numerologist, the other one is an astrologer, the other one is a mystic, a psychic that she listens to, and then we have another one that does cards. And so we will have a number of people. Let's say, for instance, we have 20 people. We'll have 25 people and five mediums. We'll have five people at each table. And at each table, we will have one medium, and she will give insight, or he will give popcorn little readings or insight to the things that's going on with you. And then after that 25 minutes, I ring a bell, and the mediums change their table. They go to another table. And so at the end of the day, you have five readings, five different insights. And it's amazing how everyone usually at the table have a common thread. And people just don't choose where they're going to sit. You just decide, well, I'm just sitting here. So there's no pre-assigned seat. So it's very, very, it's a lot of fun. It's very, very nice, and it's good for developing your intuition and to connecting to, if you're not feeling totally committed to doing an extensive reading, but someone is just telling you a light information, like you have your grandmother's spirit with you and get a picture of it and carry it with you, and whenever you're feeling lonely, call on her spirit and you'll feel better. Little light things like that, and some of it is actually profound, because last month we had someone that called me and wanted to know when was the next round robin, because it's one of the mediums picked up with her. She was doing a card reading and told her that a person that was she was dating would come back to her and be involved in her life. And she was like, really? This person that you're talking about is not even in the country. They're way overseas. And she called to tell me that the young man came back in town, mysteriously called her, and they're back on point. So it seems like, man, that, you know, people are looking forward to it. So we'll be having them just from time to time, not every month. So that's what I'm having is a round robin. If you're in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami, or West Palm Beach area, if you're not, and you would like some insight on how to set one up for yourself, then you know, just give me a call at 1-888-419-5848, or go to yayafini.com. And send me a message.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, someone in the chat room wrote, I never knew my grandfather because he died years before I was born. He played the trumpet, and I feel as if we are connected by our love of music. I always felt close to him, even though I never met him. Thank you for your story.
Great. You are very, very welcome. You are not connected to him. He's connected all through you. Yes, definitely. So, you know, get a picture of someone playing a trumpet and just keep that close to you. Put it on your wall, and whenever you think about your grandfather, ask him to come to you in a dream, because he obviously knows you. So you can connect to him when you're going, just before you fall off to sleep, you say a prayer and you want to thank your ancestor who played the trumpet. And you're going to ask him to manifest and that kind of thing, and be patient. You'll be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also, family, I wanted to mention, Yaya Feeney has a journaling class. It's called a journal class. And
Efulayo actually is the teacher of that journaling.
Oh, okay.
Class.
Okay.
Yes, it's on my website, and it's at she's having one this weekend on the 20th. She will be able to tell you better, but there's one coming up on the 30th of June. But Efulayo is actually the teacher on journaling.
Oh, okay, okay. I saw that you are having one on, that she's having one on the 30th of June and another one on July 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anyone who's interested, or even if you're interested, family, if you go on www.yayafini.com, there's a flyer that you can download, and you can send that out, because I believe in journaling. I have, I had all kinds of journals they were journals of someone I was dating at the time, or I did a journal for a year, and it's therapeutic for me because I can write down my feelings. I don't have to tell anyone. I don't have to say anything to anyone. I can just write them down. I can write down my thoughts and, you know, what my plans are, because sometimes what God gives you is not for everyone else, but you feel that you have to get it out, and journaling is a way of doing that. So, I'm sort of excited about this class. If you go to the website, you can read all about the class and, you know, what it entails. And also, download the flyer, and that way you can pass it around, because who knows, maybe a friend would like to go with you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I hope that Polaya is still on, and she may be able to give you a little insight as to her journaling class. And she does a journaling thing that she does with ancestors. So it's really, I hope that, Polaya, are you on?
She is. Do you want me to bring her mic up?
Yes, please.
Okay, and you also have another call. I'm going to bring her mic up first. One moment, please. She was at the 612. Hello, you're on the Ask Yaya Feeney show.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you good.
Yes, I had put the phone down and I was listening online, so I had to call back in. Sorry for the delay. But thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about the journaling class. And it will be at Yaya Feeney's office in West Palm Beach. I'll be doing one, as she said, this month and next month. But I also have a workshop coming up this coming Sunday, June the 9th, in Hollywood, Florida, at the Goddess Store. And I also offer that class as a part of the self-empowerment workshop series of classes, the curriculum developed by Yaya Feeney that we do. And the class is available, of course, in person, but also for those people out of the area, I do the class over the phone and also on webcam. So if anybody is interested in those options as well, time and space are no barriers because we're using technology. So feel free to, again, check on Iolode's website or on my website at efunlayo.com, E-F-U-N-L-A-Y-O. And, Ruby, it's great to hear that you're a journaler. I'm a lifelong journaler as well, and it is a powerful tool that works for many, many people. And in the class, we'll be talking about different styles of journaling, because there are many different styles of journaling, and how you can use it as a tool to be more in touch with your spiritual self, and how even the spirits can speak to you through your journaling and give you insight and information. And it's a vast field of possibilities. And I remember one of the first times that I taught the class, one of the expectations people had was that, oh, you have to journal every day. And that's one of the things we talk about in the class. Your journaling is unique to you. Some people journal every day. Mm-hmm. Some people may only journal once or twice a month or less. So thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about the class.
Yes,
thank you. Can you give your number, your phone number, your contact information, please?
Oh, yes, thank you. My number is 954-612-0627, and you can reach me through that number, or you can reach me through my website, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that anyone might have, or if you are interested in registering for any of the classes.
Okay, thank you, Afulaya. Thank you very much for sharing that. Yes,
you're welcome.
A powerful class on journaling with your ancestors. That is amazing. That is amazing, amazing class. Thank you, Afulaya.
Thank you.
Ruby, you said we had another caller?
Yes, we do. I'm Blog Talk wants to show off a little bit here. So let me, here we are. Caller 954-483, you are on the Ask Yaya Feeney show. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, I had a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome.
Welcome, Peace Family. My name is Melanie, and I saw that Yaya Feeney had put a email out to send any testimonials you may have about an ancestor or about ancestors, the power and presence of ancestors. And
yes,
I wanted to share.
I
was calling because there's one particular ancestor that's been, well, all my ancestors have been working in my life, but there's one in particular that's been definitely helping me a lot. About 5 years ago, I started working for a government agency as a grant writer, and my primary responsibility was working with government agencies, but my secondary responsibility was to nonprofit organizations and helping them define funding. And when I first started working there, there was a gentleman who came to my office several times, and he was almost kind of like a bugaboo. He just really had a vision and wanted to make that vision more of a reality. He has a veterans agency, and he wanted to get some funding in particular for a center for OEF, OIF, veterans of war and their families, Iraq and Afghanistan. And I did end up helping him, but it was just kind of like every day he would contact me. He would come to my office once a week, and it just really bugged me. He was very enthused about his program. So anyway, we ended up getting some funding, and he got funding to fund a center where veterans of OEF and OIF and their families could receive counseling and other therapeutic services to help them with PTSD, both that they experience and their family experience, and with other serious injuries like traumatic brain injury and other issues. And during the course of the last 5 years, I also decided to go back to school and pursue a master's degree. And I went through a lot of different ideas about what I was going to do and finally settled upon the counseling field. And I started going to school, and as part of my requirements, I had to do a internship. So in the process of looking for an internship, I interviewed with a lot of people. I didn't get any, callbacks or anything. Some agencies, I'm sad to say, didn't even call me back, all kinds of things. And I guess in the process, it just kind of dawned on me, why don't you ask this man that you helped get funding through your job? So I asked him, and I said, look, can I do my practicum, my internship at your veterans agency? And he was like, sure, and we'll be flexible, whatever you need, which is what I had prayed for. I had prayed for some level of flexibility and a good place for me to gain some skills. So I started working with the veterans, and during the course of my internship, which was almost a year long, the movie, and I don't know if you all remember when the movie Red Tails came out, my veterans wanted to see, my Vietnam veterans wanted to see the movie Red Tails. So we went to the movie Red Tails, and we had discussions about those veterans. And in the midst of the discussions, we also had a individual who was a Tuskegee Airman who came in and spoke to us and all of that. And in the course of discussing it, I thought about my grandfather. My grandfather was a World War II veteran who trained with the Tuskegee Airmen, but he was never officially an airman. So in the conversation that we had, where I was talking to the World War, Tuskegee Airmen, he said, no, we claim him as an airman. And I was like, wow. So then it just dawned on me that my grandfather had orchestrated pretty much all of that, in terms of helping me with me meeting this individual who was, needed funding for his center. I helped him get funding. He helped me to intern at his agency, and there were just so many blessings that came with that during that process. So I just have a lot of love and respect for the power and the presence of the ancestors, because I know that that was my grandfather that helped me.
Wow.
Wow,
thanks
that is
for sharing
great.
That. That was profound.
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I also want to say that, you know, our ancestors are the sum total of who we are. You know, a lot of times we think we have our own ideas, and we do, but their DNA is, we have the same DNA. So we're fulfilling some of their wishes and their dreams through our lives, as well as our own, and they're helping us. So.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Paul. Thank you, Carla, for that. That was an amazing story.
Yes.
Yes, there are no coincidences. There are no coincidences. When we live in the moment of divine connection, everything intertwines and interplays with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Wow,
that's powerful.
Yes. Okay. Someone in the chat room wrote, my father's side of the family has issues with longevity as it pertains to relationships. Is it possible that one of my ancestors may have had a tragedy that continues to resonate even to this very day?
Yes, definitely it could be. I'm not saying that it is, but it could be because as the other caller said, we are sum total of our ancestors, and because they passed on, then does that mean that their influence is not good or bad, is not with us. And sometimes we have cross-generational blessings and cross-generational afflictions that we are spiritual and physical afflictions that we sometimes have to heal from. And that's what it is. So this is an opportunity for the caller to really connect to and try to get some insight as to how, what vehicle or what tools perhaps you could use to really tapping into that and getting clarity on it and use it as an empowerment for her and her family. I remember once I did a consultation on a woman, and she was telling me that the women in her family, none of them have ever married and none of them have had meaningful relationships with men. And so I told her that after I finished the work that she was doing, that I would do a reading for her Edile, or a what we call loosely term a roots reading, or a reading on her finding out of her ancestry, lineage, and their strengths and weaknesses. And I did the consultation for her and prescribed a ritual that all of the women in her family had to do on a specific day, and to call on their ancestors. And it was a specific ritual for making sure that the women in the family married and had children. And it was about, maybe about eight or nine months later, she called me and told me three of her nieces were married, two of her grandnieces were pregnant, and were the pregnant ones, one of them was getting married with the big belly. So the situation clarified itself, and that was some type of ritual, and I don't want to share with them exactly what was the trauma that they shared, a historical thing, a cross-generational thing that had to be broken and had to be changed. Their spiritual perception and perspective, or their spiritual empowerment, had to be re-energized. So I know that for a fact that it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know what? I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to share something with you. One of the things that, you know, my pastor talks about is generational curses. And people see that as what they can see, like poverty, or like Papa was a Rolling Stone. They could see that, but they don't see the spiritual side of it, you know, or the spirits that, you know, of your ancestors and what they went through and how it carries over. You know,
right.
I guess because, it's, you know, they can't see it, that they don't understand that it's there and it's real.
And as you say, it's a cross-generational curse or a cross-generational blessing in that if you have something that is a malady or a negative or negative experience that it goes through from one generation to the other, then that it is that family's duty and responsibility to get to the spiritual crux of what it is and not just assume, well, because everybody in the family are alcoholics, then everybody will be an alcoholic, no more than you would today. Everybody in my family is overweight, or everybody in my family has low blood, or everybody in my family. You can't just go on a blank statement. You'd have to take, number one, the cases, as well as the circumstances in which they're being raised, and the choices that they made, the choices that they had at the time, and the choices that we have that we can change to not only change that potential or propensity to do or to have that malady, but to also use that as a way, as a jumping off point to know that, okay, I know we have this somewhere in our line. If I don't know what's the cause, let me make sure that I don't fall prey to that.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of the things that I've used to change my way of eating. Because my father died, diabetes, and both legs were removed. My grandfather and my father died from a stroke. He had a stroke and never recovered. And so I know that in our family we have challenges with our blood. And so I could either, no, not me, because I refuse to choose that, but someone could perhaps say, well, I know that we have that problem, so let me embrace the fact that, okay, one day I may have diabetes and continue eating just the way that, you know, my father ate or that my family ate. So I made the decision, and with guidance from spirit as well as from men, to become vegetarian, to be active with my maintenance of a healthy lifestyle, because I don't want to leave here because of the things that I say, well, in my family. My aunt on my father's side as well, she died blind from diabetes. So we have in our family. And so we choose not to live and not to eat the type of things that would put us at risk. And you change your life and, you know, and you move forward. But we can't just say, well, because there it is, we have it in our family, so you can expect it. No, you have a choice. You have the ability to make a different choice than they did. The things that they ate, the awareness that they had after that, food is a reflection of everything that we are to experience. Food is our medicine, and the medicine is our food. If we don't live from that understanding, if they couldn't because of whatever reasons there was, poverty, slavery, lack of information, whatever it is, now that we have the opportunity to know that if we eat more fruits and vegetables, we are healthier, and stay away from the processed foods and the foods that have names that and colors that don't even exist in nature. Like I saw a light blue Kool-Aid that they're selling now. There's nothing in nature that is that color. You know, so those are the kind of things that I think that we have. So I wanted to... if there's no caller, I was going to read from my book again.
We actually do have a caller that's been patiently waiting.
Great.
Yes. Caller 561-714, your mic is on. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Thank you. I'm calling in. My ancestors have been very powerful in my life and directed me to do things that I have to do, but I have to say today is one of my most powerful days of connection with my ancestors. Normally, I try to be at home to listen to the Yaya Feeney Show. However, I was just directed to come by the ocean and sit in my car and listen to this particular show. And being here on the ocean, looking at the water and listening to the show, I understand why I'm here listening to the show with the connection with the ancestors, because what I'm getting is that, yes, the ocean is where our bodies have laid. My ancestors are at the bottom of the ocean. But at the same time, I feel a connection where it's being said to me that our bodies lay at the ocean. They have disintegrated. However, our soul does not lie there. And the ocean is just a cleansing area where if you're not feeling okay, you could come to the ocean and not even step into the water, but just sit and let the sea breeze of the salt air just wash all over you. And I feel so fantastic to be listening to a most powerful woman, Yeyefini, and sitting here and looking at the ocean. And I thank my ancestors for bringing me here to sit at the ocean and listen to this particular show. I'm so thankful and grateful. And that's my comment.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate your call. Yeyefini? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm. Yeyefini, are you there?
Yes, I am. I said that I'm so grateful. I didn't know who it was that called in, but I'm so grateful that they took the initiative to call, because that's very profound that you said that the energy, the soul, is still with us. And we have ancestors that we remember or may not never experience, that their bones are in the bottom of the sea. If you have an African experience or any other experience, we have ancestors who have drowned, who have died, and whose ashes were spread on the water, all of that. And so, as you say, the soul never dies. It's just a connection to, you know. So when we are connected to the soul's pure potential for the moment, we connect to the spirit of our ancestors. And nothing is a coincidence. That's what I wrote the other day, that we think that is a coincidence. There's nothing that is a coincidence. It's your own spirit that you connect in the now, in the moment, in the divine presence of that moment, connected you to being at the sea, and you're able to intuit. And connecting to nature, because remember, nature is our first ancestor. The trees, the water, the stones, the air, they were here before us, so they are our ancestors. So when we call, when we sit in nature, sit under a tree, sit at the sea, sit at a river, sit on a mountaintop, we're connected to pure energy and wisdom. And it just comes to us, but we have to be recipients and we have to be open. And so, you know, I bless you for calling in and bless you for the things that you're experiencing. Thank you so much.
Yes. We have I want to say comment or a request. It says, Ilode, please share with us some things that we might do to honor our ancestors.
Oh, okay, great. Boy, I was just talking about no coincidences. I said I was going to read from my book, and that's exactly where I'm reading. So whoever it is asked that question, we are on the move, we are on the vibe, we're connected to soul-to-soul vibration, you know? All we have to do is to want, because once we connect to the fact that everything that we want and we desire is available to us, there's no lack in the universe. Once we come from a place of affirming it and not saying, I hope that I don't get, or I hope that I get, no, just claim it. I have received it already. And so that person wanted this information, required it, and I'm sure thousands of people that listen in the archives, because we have hundreds of the numbers of callers, I mean listeners, for the Ask Yeyefini show, I just got the numbers the other day, 38,000. So that's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to read again from the book Meaningful Monday by Yeyefini Efumbolade, Developing and Maintaining Balance Through the Seasons with Prayer, Fast, and Healthful Living. And I'm going to read from page 45. The person asked for something that we could do here, or something that, you know, I'm always doing some type of energy shifting. When we look, the name of this is Generational Blessings. When we look at our lives in the moment or in retrospect, at times we make comparisons to other people and their lives. When we celebrate the success of our lives, we usually consider ourselves blessed or lucky. Sometimes we see in our families and other families what seems to be a repeated series of similar struggles. These can be called generational curses. However, at times we overlook or forget that most of the successes and blessings that we have
are generational blessings inherited from our loved ones' work. Successful careers, unexpected long-term success in our life, strong, long-loving relationships, leadership skills, extreme generosity, extreme zeal, passion, courage, and determination when others fall by the wayside. The ability to create miracles for self and others, entrepreneurial genius, musical genius, a natural gift for scientific success. These and many other blessings that flow through our veins are generational blessings. Many of our ancestors work without proper reward. Others perhaps freely gave, volunteered, and sacrificed for others unconditionally. Some even paid the ultimate sacrifice of life so that others could have a better future. It is our responsibility and duty to recognize, celebrate, and give thanks to the blessings passed down to us. By looking at how far we've come as individuals, as families, as communities, and as world citizens, we can continue our family legacy. We put things back into the ancestral savings bank. This bank holds our deposit of present blessings, generational blessings, and our children's future bathed in a legacy of blessing. And so everything that we've been saying so far has been about that. It has been about how is it or what is it that we are, who we are today, and how we are connected to some ancestral spirit or some experience that our ancestors shared and they want to bless us with. So here is something that we can do to connect to our ancestors. Find a picture, and this is on page 46. This is the cleansing ritual for this particular chapter. Find a picture that connects you to a loving memory of one of your parents, grandparents, or other ancestors that have moved you. Invoke their name, light a candle, and sit and recall your happiest times with them and their happiest times with you. During this week, make a trip to a store and purchase a nice frame. Place the picture in a frame and place it in a prominent place in your home. They are in your DNA, so they are always with you. This is just a glimpse of what an ancestral celebration can be. Just to have them in your memory and connect you to the experiences and have a picture in your home where when people ask you, who is that? You're able to speak from the experience that you've had with them and paint a picture so that the other person that's asking the question, they too can connect to the spirit of that ancestor and perhaps be blessed. Because in that moment when you're sharing who that ancestor is, it is not by coincidence, as I said, we don't have such a thing as coincidence. It's by divine design that that person would ask you that, because in sharing who that spirit was and who the adventures that you had with that person or the pain that you had with that person somehow will make an impact on that on that person's life. So don't think it's not important to have the picture of your ancestors or to have a place that is sacred where you come and you pray and you honor your ancestors and you ask and you give in gratitude. Because if we never ask anything of our ancestors, they will still help us. What they're asking or what makes us feel warm and secure is when we come from a place of gratitude. So if we can thank them, that's enough for them to come back. Because gratitude is the biggest connection to soul. When you say I'm grateful or thank you, and you show gratitude, you feel so good. You feel so warm. You feel wonderful. You feel like you can flow forever. It's because it's a place. Because once you're grateful, then the universe acknowledges that you accepted it and you have used it, and it gives you an opportunity to receive more. So gratitude is the one way of connecting to soul and to abundance. So I wanted to share that with you. I hope that was enough for the person if they want to have more information as to how to set up a sacred space or somewhere to set up so the ancestors, they can also
go on my website and touch the IIASK tab. We have an ongoing class in 5 different cities that we teach ancestral reverence, that they can tap into that. And if you go on my website, yayafini.com, and just hit the tab for IIASK, you'll see where they are and the classes that they offer. And another little information that I would like to give in terms of ancestral, or how can we honor ancestors more or easier, a way that you could do that is whenever you're feeling a disconnect from some of the things that you want, the material things that you want,
mm-hmm.
the finances, the job, the money, that kind of thing, I find that by going outside in nature and the soil and connecting to the oldest ancestor we have, which is Mother Earth, you pour a libation, you pour some water, and you're watering the spirit of the thing that you're saying. That's what a libation is. It's nothing mystical or strange or hocus pocus. You're pouring water and you're performing an act. Just as I'm watering this soil, just as I'm pouring this water on the ground, may, and then you claim what it is that you want, that all of the fruits of your labor will manifest for you, and the job that is perfect for you, that you've been watering your life and preparing your life to receive, that it will manifest itself. And it will, trust me. And I always have come from a place of gratitude. So when you're finished doing that prayer and that, do something in nature. If it's to pick up some garbage from around your neighborhood, if it's to do something to clear Mother Earth so that she knows that you are grateful and that you're doing your work to put back into the universe, if it's conscious about the plastic and things that we use with recycling, that's a way for us to connect to the universal energy of the ancestor of Mother Earth. And then from there, then we can have the ones that whose blood runs through our veins.
Hmm. Okay. We have a caller online before I put her on. Yay, Feeny, we are always connected by Sistar, my Panamanian sister. Okay. Sistar.
Okay, someone was saying that.
Someone
saying,
wrote that
sharing.
To you.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, De Panama.
Okay, and we have a caller online. Caller 919-632, you're on the air with Yaya Feeny. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeny Show.
Thank you. My name is Omi Yaya, and I'm one of her godchildren. But I want to say that the thing you just said about Mother Earth was just gorgeous. It was just beautiful. And I thank you for that. I wanted to tell just quickly about my cousin who passed away. And I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he passed away suddenly, and he was young. And it came to me that what he wanted from time to time was a glass of ice and a Pepsi. And I mentioned this to my father. You know how you're always trying to help people in your life who believe differently than you believe that what you believe is true. So I somehow we got into that conversation, and I told him about it. And what I didn't know was he then went to my cousin's widow and asked her about it. He asked her if she liked, if he in any way liked Pepsi, and she described exactly what I said. And the,
wow.
the biggest thing that came from that, though, was my father started talking to me about spirits. And he started talking to me about ancestors. And when my mother had her heart attack and they said that she might die and we were in the hospital room, he turned to me and said, "Who's here?" And I said, "Well, her aunt who raised her here." And he said, "Is her mother here?" And I said, "No." He said, "Oh, well, then she's going to live. She's going to live." He said,
wow.
"Because if she was going to pass away, her mother would be here." And he just started talking to me about all these things that just opened our relationship up. And it was just a wonderful thing, and I thank the ancestors for that, and I thank Ilode for teaching you how to do this so that that could happen in my life.
Oh, I should. Thank you so much. That was, oh, my God, I got good people behind that. Thank you so much. And it gave me some insight now, because my grandfather, they said that one of the reasons that he had a stroke was to, and I don't remember him. I have a vague memory of him. So thank you, Omiyeye, because my grandfather loved Pepsi-Cola. And they said that he drank a Pepsi-Cola and he had been out in the sun all day and it was ice cold and he had a stroke behind that. So maybe what I'll do is, now that I know, maybe my grandfather may want a nice Pepsi-Cola. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with that one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Omiyeye. That was wonderful.
Yes, we actually have another caller online.
Okay.
Hello?
Caller 770-873. Yes? Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Hi, I just have a really quick question. My question is, what exactly is a medium?
Okay, a medium is a vehicle. Because if we look at the meaning of medium, it's the go-between, right? So a medium is a go-between between the life of the spiritual world and the material world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's what a medium is. It's someone who allows themselves to feel and be receptive to feel the energy of spirit and transmute it through them. We are all mediums. We're all mediums. You know, sometimes we're talking and we say something. We say, oh, my goodness, the hairs on my, I have goose pimples. In that moment, you're being a medium. You're transmitting energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are all mediums. We're all vehicles for spirit because we came from the spirit world. And so we all have a connection to spirit. And we will return to spirit. So we all have that ability. And as I said, some may have it more developed because they've spent time. Sometimes people are born. There's one of my shows in archives that talks about children who are born with the veil on their eye over their face, the children who have the ability to see spirits, and that they come back with a little more stronger attunement to receiving influences. But we all have it. Sometimes we have a feeling that, oh, my God, I went by there and I got chills. It was just weird. It was strange. Or that's all about being a medium. So a medium is someone who feels the energy and is comfortable with it and can allow spirit to come. Because spirit is not going to put you in a situation where it wipes you out. It approaches you gently, and if you're receptive, then it will revisit. But they're always there. Your energy is always there, and it's always connecting from the spirit world. We live in a vortex. We live right between the spirit world and the world of the living. That's why it only takes one breath to stop, and you're gone to the other side. There's no passport required. There's no whole lot of things that you need. You just stop breathing, and you move to the next level. So we're all mediums. So that's what it means to be a medium. I hope that answers the question, but if it doesn't, please feel free to ask me in more detail on the show right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Did that answer the question?
Are you asking me?
Yes, the person
yes, it
was
did
on.
Answer. Yes, it did answer my question. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you. And we also have mediumship classes that I do as well. So just go on my website if you can, for those who want to develop their awareness or develop their skill on how to communicate and to be a vehicle. Because in the Western belief system, we don't have a clear appreciation for spirit. We just said that's strange, and we don't know if you can't see it, it doesn't make any sense. Let's close the door and let's get us a Pepsi. And versus, you know, this is strange, but why is it strange? How many people feel this? Is there anyone else in the room, like the young lady that just spoke, that Father says, who else is here? He says, well, I don't see him. I don't see him like you do, but I know somebody's here. You understand? So he says, well, I'm relying on those that see better than me. He didn't say, well, I don't believe in that, and whenever she may die, let's pray and hope that she gets, you know, 25 more milligrams or whatever it is that they're giving her. He just says, I know she's not going.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The call-in number is 310-742-1887. And I see that we have several callers on the line. If you have a question or comment, you can, if you press 1, I will know that you want to speak on air or you want to ask a question or tell something that's going on in your life as far as your ancestors are concerned. And family in the chat room, yes, we have a lot of people in the chat room. If you have other questions, you can please type it here, and I will read the question to Yaya Feeney. At this time, I would like to mention her website and some of her products and services. As she mentioned, Yaya Feeney has several classes that she does, and also classes that she is affiliated with. You heard that in the journaling class. And she has, if you go on her website, www.yayafeeney.com, you'll see Teaching Tuesdays, you'll see the IIASK. There's several different things that she has on her site, not just products, but her classes, the services that she do. She has, Feeney, you want to talk about, I understand that you do weddings and different types of ceremonies?
Oh, yes, I do weddings, and I did my last priest funeral for our dear friend, Omikinu, yes. The weddings that we perform, of course, is in an African tradition or is Yoruba tradition. But the type of weddings that we give, there are a number of steps towards me doing a wedding for you. You have to have a spiritual consultation as to what is the energy or what is the reason, the spiritual reason that the two people came together. And how is it that they can maintain that spiritual connection? Because sometimes we come into relationships, both of us are broken vessels just trying to be filled. And sometimes the vessel, the thing that we're asking to fill it may not be the other person. It may be the person's personality that brings us to acknowledge, whoa, I still got some work, some repair work. And the repair work would be X, Y, and Z. And that's one of the reasons for a consultation, is to find out exactly what is the blessing of these two people meeting, and how is it going to be a benefit to the families that are now going to become one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that would be then would be counseling sessions to help them to understand the importance of having a process when they come face-to-face with the very reflection of themselves that they see in the other person, because each romantic relationship is an assignment from God. Every relationship that we have is an assignment from God, but the one that requires the most work and is up in our face is our relationship, because we have to be vulnerable and open our souls and our spirit to the other person. And the person is going to reflect the very things that sometimes we are unable to see for ourselves, or we are running from, or we are in denial that exists. So it's a lot of work. And so you have counseling sessions to show you exactly what is the requirement, what energy needs to be shifted around each person, and we do this with ritual, ceremony, as well as with counseling. And so after that, then there's a marriage contract. You have to write up a contract to understand. And most people who have value, consider themselves of value, will have a contract in a marriage, just like people who have a lot to lose will have a prenup. So this is a prenup, not because we want it to fail, but we want to know what are the steps, what are the things that are important to my mate that I will be able to meet and and support them so that she will be happy or he will be happy so that we will be together making a wonderful connection. And so the marriage contract is to let you know what is important to you, what is a deal breaker, what is a requirement to fulfill your heart, that you will always feel vulnerable and open and confident that the other person is going to meet you where you require, and that you will meet that other person where they require to be whole and complete and fulfill their purpose on earth. And so the marriage contract also goes into it. And then after that, then we just choose a date for the wedding. So it's a marriage that we're working on before we have a wedding. The wedding is just a date. It's just a ceremony where the community acknowledges that these two people are officially joining families, each other's families. But the marriage ceremony, and that begins months before that. So my weddings is a process. So if you just wanted someone to do an African wedding because it looks, because you have African attire and African, I don't do that type of wedding. Mine is expensive. So those are the types. I'm glad that you asked. You've never asked that on the show, and I'm glad that you asked that. That people can have a, you know, an understanding as to why it's very important, because I want, when we call the ancestors and say we bear witness, that the people have done the work required to actually bear witness to each other.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. And family, I mentioned before the round robin. It's group. And Yaya Feeney puts it, popcorn readings. And I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, you have fun and the opportunity to meet four powerful spiritual healers and readers, one at each table to give quick, fun, short popcorn insight and information that could assist you in taking advantage of the abundance that is surrounding your aura at that time. If you're in the West Palm Beach area, this is something that is worth going to. Even if you just want to check it out and, you know, you're not fully there yet where you believe or where you understand, this can help you with that. And once you get this in your spirit, then who knows where you can go? Who knows where this can take you or what path this will lead you on? One of the things that in working with Yaya Feeney, I've learned that, as she said, there are no coincidences. You're sent on a path for a reason. You know, a lot of people say, you know, when things happen, why me? The truth is, why not you? It's you, because you have to, maybe something is leading you to someone else so that they can see how you come out of it, how you deal with certain things. And that will help them to deal with something that's coming up in their future. So definitely take a look at her website, www.yayafeeney.com, and look at all of the things that she's doing. And as I said, also look at her products. I love her products. And her book, Meaningful Mondays, the book has a lot of information in it. You know, it has cleansing baths and different things that you can do for an abundance life, for a more spirit-filled life.
Yeah. So I also have the other two books, which is Household Guide for Yoruba Spiritual Wellness, which is a little handbook. Yeah, the little handbook that gives you some little ceremonies and rituals for you to do for yourself. And then the latest book is the detoxing book, which helps us, for those of you who are going to join me on Facebook for the upcoming summer solstice 5 days fast. So that's also a little booklet that you can pick up.
on there on the website as well. Maybe you want to share a little about or I can share myself as to, you know, we're talking about the fast and people may be looking for it on my website. It's actually a group on Facebook that if you're not on Facebook, you will not be able to follow the fast per se. So that's the only challenge that you would have if you don't have Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you may not be able to follow the fast because I don't have anyone to help me to do the fast on a larger scale. I'm still asking for an assistant, and not asking, but expecting an assistant to come. One day would be perfect. It would be perfect to handle as my assistant to help me with these things. But for now, it's still only the detoxing class. The detoxing cleanse on June the 15th through the 21st is only on Facebook for now. And you could just friend request for the page. It's Winter Solstice Detoxing Cleansing group page.
Okay. And family, that's looking for an assistant, expecting an assistant. Did you hear the words that she used? Expecting. When you do this fast, there is an expectation. When you get in your car, there's an expectation of that this car will start and take you where you're going. That's the same way it should be in life. That's one of the things that Yaya Feeney has taught me, that I'm not looking, I'm expecting. You know, I'm not searching. I am expecting certain things to happen in my life. So it's about the words that you choose, and it's about your belief, and also about certain things that you can do in your life that can help you get to where you want to be or where you feel you need to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yafini, can you tell, I was speaking with someone and they mentioned a shoon. And
a what?
A shoon. Oshun?
Oshun, uh-huh.
Oshun, yes. Exactly what is that?
Oshun is an ancestor, an energy in the universe, a part of nature, and it's a nature and expression that we have from inside of us. It's all of the above. Oshun is the name that we give to the connection that we have to the spirit of pleasure, of creativity, of abundance, of well-being, of laughter, of romance, of sex, of fertility, of deliciousness, of the five senses that lives inside of us. And to awaken it is to awaken us to always have what it is that we desire, because she is the energy within us of desire. Now, just as you were saying, we may desire something, but the way that we put it to the universe, it will be the outcome that we will get. So if you're waiting or you're hoping or you're wishing, it's not going to work. When you say to the universe that this is what you require for your highest and best good, then you pray to have the patience, not only to wait, but the patience to wait, but to also have the vision to recognize it when it comes. Because sometimes we want the abundance to come in a specific way. And Oshun is like the river. It runs and then it stops and it goes around a rock and it goes straight and it stands still and then it goes down a waterfall and then it keeps running. So that's how life is. Sometimes we're very bubbly. Sometimes we're very calm. Sometimes we're very luscious. Sometimes we're cold. Sometimes we're warm. And so Oshun is that ability for us to connect to all of that lives inside of us that makes us feel like, oh, my God, I want some more. That's Oshun. So when we're talking about it from the Orisha description of what it is in the elements, the universe is the color yellow, is water, It is the things that are sweet to the taste, like honey and sugar and anything like that that satisfies that taste. So Oshun is the Orisha, the energy in the universe that we go to, what we call on, we vibrate, and we try to get more of so that we can be more. So that's Oshun.
Okay.
You can Google Oshun and get the elementary level of what is Oshun, and you can see a picture of a lady dancing in a river, you know, that kind of thing. And that's the elementary level. What I just gave was a secondary, was high school level. And then in my workshops, then I do college level. And then when I do the graduate level and the PhD level, that's when I have one of my Kundalini meditation possessions where you actually feel Oshun coming up through you and feeling it completely in your body. It is a very, very powerful workshop that I do. That's the graduate PhD level where I call the energy and I summon the energy and it appears and you feel it. I remember doing two of them. And the last one that I did, well, I did about six of them, but the last one that I did, the ladies left there. I mean, it was amazing. They were like, oh, my God, I got to get home to my man. Because it wakes up the force of creativity, of sensuality, of the part of you that has the ability to procreate. And so you use that energy not only just to have a good time, but you use that energy in the actual orgasmic flow of your energy and your mate's energy to create something, to give birth to something. So sex and romance and the awakening of the passion center is more than just having a good time just and then, you know, you turn over and give me a cigarette. It's actually an opportunity to create, to bring to life abundance, money, prosperity, decisions that you need to make and you've been having a hard time. That is the place that you want to take it. So the workshop is very, very powerful, the Oshun one. So, and also, as I send out, for those of you who signed up for my newsletter, this month's newsletter, I talked about going on tour. So I am ready to go on tour. I'm ready to start speaking again. I haven't been on tour on a regular basis for 2 years. And I went the other day to Dallas, so I'm ready. So for the listeners, if you're ready for me to come to your city and you want me to speak on any particular subject or you want me to bring some of my books or speak at the university, I am actually ready. So please free contact me, and I am actually ready because most of the people that I have met that have become a part of my practice and my institute and my mentoring and my godparenthood and that kind of thing, I have met in lectures. So that I have a gift in it, and the ancestors that walk with me, one of them in particular, loves lecturing because he was a lecturer. And so he walks with me, and so it's time, and it's just time. So I'm ready to go back. I needed these last 2 years to just kind of get myself reconnected to slowing down and putting some important things in place, and so I'm ready. So for those that are listening, get me to come to your city and your organization to do some lectures or give some classes, and the Kundalini one is off the chain.
Okay, family, we have about 10 minutes left. The call-in number is 310-742-1887, and please make sure you press the number 1 so I can bring your mic up and you can speak on the air. And our family in the chat room, you can type your questions there and I will ask Yefini. Yefini, I have a question. What put this show in your spirit?
Well, I love to talk, as you know, as you can see. I used to get in trouble in school for always talking. And so I got into this thing called Facebook, and I just started, just getting a lot of friendship requests and that, and I fulfilled them, and I met some wonderful people. And in doing it, people would ask me questions, and I would have, will call me and talk to me, or email me, or either inbox me and talk to me about different things that's going on, and I was able to give them advice, counseling, suggestions, some remedies also, because I used to put up a thing, Teaching Tuesday, and I would give a video with all types of rituals and ceremonies that you can do with stuff you have in your own refrigerator. And so people kept asking me questions, and they would always say, oh, my gosh, you need to, the way you answered me, somebody else, other people need to hear what you're saying. And I said, well, I do lectures on that, and, of course, you know, just to answer one question for me to come to your city was different. And so everyone started asking me, why don't you just go on the radio? And Nefer, who was one of my friends on Facebook, she showed me how to do this blog talk. And so that's how I made it. But the actual title of Ask Gay Athenians, because people always call and ask me things, questions about either their life, their relationship, or just common sense thing, or they just like my sense of humor or wit, I would say, wit in the way that I express myself. And people will always ask me, and they feel very comfortable in asking me because I don't pass any judgment. And when I say it, I use myself most of the time as an example. So I'm kind of really open. And so that's why they ask Gay Athenians. I say, ask me everything. Because I remember when I used to do tours and lectures and be on television and radio and that kind of thing, people would ask me, and I would say at the beginning of the show, ask me anything you want to. There's nothing that I have not been asked that if I can't come up with the answer, I will get back with you by next week. But there's nothing that you will ask me that I would be embarrassed. I remember when I was married to my children's father, and I was in a polygamous relationship marriage, and I'm polygamous marriage, people would ask, whenever they said polygamous marriage, they would go straight for the sex thing. So they would ask us all kinds of questions on that. So that gave me an opportunity to answer all types of raw questions that people would be embarrassed to ask, because it's usually the thing that they would be embarrassed to ask would be something about sex or that kind of thing. But anything else, I'm an open book. Ask me. I know the answer, the solution, or show. Trust me, I have a Rolodex of people who I can refer you to. I can refer you to if I don't have the answers, because I don't invent and I don't try to come up with solutions on my own. I just call from the years as a priestess and a year of living as an African Latina living in this reality of living in the between spirit world and material world in America with an African kind of approach to life. So that's how I came up with the show, is just Ask Gay Athenians, because I like to talk. And I love to answer questions, and I love to share. I love to help others. That is the passion that I have. Every day when I wake up, I always try to find, not look for it, but I always find in every situation that's happening with me, a way that I can help someone else. Always. I've always been like that, ever since I was a child. I shared before on the show that I used to have parties for my friends when I was 9 and 10. I would have parties if I knew that, because we were very poor living in Panama. We would get our little money together, get a couple of things, and we had a party, a birthday party. If you said to me that you never had a party in your life, oh, yeah, it was happening. I would create a party. You know, that's the Oshun aspect of me. I love parties. I love to serve. I love to give. I'm very passionate. So Ask Gay Athenians is just about asking me what it is that you want to know about my life or the life of spirit or the path that I've traveled for the past 45 years as a practitioner, practicing this faith, and 43 years coming up in August of being a priestess or being ordained in this path. And I was doing readings as soon as my year was up, so I've been doing spiritual consultations and readings for 41 years. And training priests. Training priests. And so on my website also I have training for priests. No, I don't have that up because that's by invitations only. But I do have a class once a month for people who are practicing this faith to get information and how. And I have a number of CDs that you're able to get, that the classes that I give, you're able to purchase those CDs too, and DVDs, as well as CDs and DVDs on how to make baths and different things like that. But the class on those people who have become involved with spirituality and yoga, Lukumi specifically. I have a number of CDs as to how to and what is this faith we call Lukumi or Yoruba or Condomble or all of the names that has been given to us, Shango Baptist, all of it. It's all about worshiping and honoring nature.
Okay. Yefini, I have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 4 minutes left.
Is it a question?
Yes.
Okay.
Caller 718-930. We have about 4 minutes left. Welcome to the Ask Yefini Show.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I wanted to ask, it seems like quite recently the spirits have been sending people to me, and I'm not actually a person who is like a practicing person as far as to do consultations and things, but information tends to come to me. How can I ask my ancestors just to help to ground me so that I will be able to serve better?
I think that if you, when you say you're practicing, you are practicing. The fact that you know that there's another reality other than, you know, Christmas tree and a bottle of wine. So it is not just a mundane. The best way I think that you could do is to meditate. When you go into meditation, you visualize your ancestor. Whoever it is, your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, your father, you visualize them and you ask them to help you. You see yourself sitting at their feet. Or you see yourself sitting on their lap. Or you see them sitting on your lap. Because sometimes our parents are or were our children at one time and vice versa. And so through meditation, when you meditate, you visualize your ancestors and you light a candle and you do your meditation and you see them come to you and you ask them, please help me to be useful. Please give me the information that I need to connect to my soul message, to my soul purpose. And that is the most powerful. The next is, of course, to write. To just write to your ancestors, say, I'm writing this letter of thank you to my grandma and put her name, and you'll just start automatic writing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you, caller.
We have, what, three minutes left? In closing, I wanted to read something also. I want to go outside from my chapter in the book because we're preparing for the summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yes.
I Want to Go Outside is the name of this one. It's page 63. As we prepare for the end of summer, let's go outside at night and enjoy Mother Nature. Today, go sit on the grass in the park, backyard, garden, or just sit on a bench. Look at the leaves on the trees or the bushes and give them thanks for providing us loving oxygen. Thank it for seeing us walk past them without noticing, ignoring them, and even allowing our dogs to pee on them. Find a large tree, go up to it, introduce yourself and hug it. Lean on it, ask a favor of it, embrace it and thank it. Soon the leaves will change, fall off and seem lifeless, but the spirit of the tree will remember you. And during the winter months, you have a place where you know someone is thinking of you even when you're not thinking about it. So have a meaningful Monday is the closing of that one. So I just want to thank you, Ruby, for your wonderful dedication and commitment to the Ask Yefini Show. Thank you for your spirit of love and the spirit of just an ease about you that have allowed us to be on the air almost a year. Thank you, listeners and callers, for just being there, because it makes me feel useful. It makes me feel that I am needed, and it makes me know that I'm doing God's work. I thank you. I'm grateful to each and every one of you that have connected, who are listening in archives, and who are actually listening to me right now. Please always connect to the spirit that lives with you, within you, and around you by just breathing, meditating, connecting to spirit. Because the spirit of your ancestors are within your blood. The spirit of every person that has helped you since the person who held you when you were born, that person is still with you. So always find yourself in a place of connecting and feeling, just getting still and intuiting what is going on around you and just living in a place of gratitude. So thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for being in the archives and continue just being a loving reflection of God and Goddess. Ashe.
Yes, family. We will see you next month. And don't forget, go to Yaya Feeney's website, www.yayafeeney.com. And also for the fasting, friend her on Facebook. Again, thank you, family, and have a great week, a great month. We will see you next month. Thank you for hosting
okay.
the show, Yaya Feeney.
You're very welcome. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.